you. All right, Tavosai. So today's daf is Yud Amud Aleph. We are starting from the second line in Rav Adda Karichna Kamed Rav Kahana. So again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we had a little bit of a heated conversation between Rebbe and Levi. As Levi, right, you saw this, as Levi wanted to say that there was a 16th case in the Mishnah of Anusas Oviv, about a woman violated by the father. And again, we'll get into that case again today. And Rebbe said, you know, essentially that Levi should get knocked in the head for going ahead and saying such a thing, obviously upset with Levi for bringing this up. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that perhaps Rebbe didn't hold of the principles or of the concepts that Rebbe Chiya had stated on Amabez. Because on Amabez, Rebbe Chiya said that in all of the cases in the Mishnah, I could apply the principle of Asur Lezem Mutares Lezem, and Asur Lezem Mutares Lezem. Then in the case of the two brothers, the woman that would be Asur to this one would be Mutar to this one. The woman who would be Mutar to this one would be Asur to this one. And Achosa Shehi Yevinta Choletes O Misyavemes. And furthermore, again, the sister of the Yavama should get Chalitza or Yibum. So Rebbe Chiya wanted to suggest that all 15 cases in the Mishnah can fit into this particular paradigm. And the Gemara was suggesting that perhaps Rebbe doesn't accept it. That's why Rebbe had to reject the case of Anusas Oviv. So it says the Gemara, Rav Adda Karichna Kamei Rav Kahana Amr Shmei Rav Ali Olam Isli L'Rebbe Hani Klali. In reality, Rebbe does hold of these principles that Rebbe Chiya had mentioned. V'achi kamarle, and this is what he said to him. Imo anusas aviv. Rabbi said the case of one's mother who was violated by one's father, which we'll see what that essentially means is that a man violated a woman and they had a child. That's called the case of imo anusas aviv. So it's not his mother in the conventional sense, meaning that his parents are not married, but rather he was conceived as a result of his father violating his mother. So Rebbe would say, "Bechada meshkachasla, betarti lo meshkachasle." So that case of imo anusas aviv, the case of a mother who was violated by the father, his mother because she was violated by the father, could comply with one of the two principles of Rebbe Chiya, but not with both. How so? I Yaakov beiz achios anas. If Yaakov violated two sisters, now both. So now you can take a look at the image I emailed you just quickly, and if you don't have it, it's okay. It's not really all that essential, just a little bit helpful. So if you look at the two images again, you have Yaakov violated Chana and Penina. Busy day. Right? Yaakov violated Chana and Penina. So what happens? I'll say, let's assume for a moment in this context now that Chana and if you have the art scroll, Gemara, I scanned this out of the art scroll. It's the same thing from the art scroll. So if Chana and Penina are sisters, Yaakov beis achios anos. Watch this. If Yaakov violated two, so you're looking at the image. Yaakov violated two sisters, Chana and Penina. Chana and Penina then go on to marry Yaakov's two other sons. Remember again, he has, with Chana he has Levi, with Penina he has Yehuda, but Yaakov has two other sons who are totally unrelated to Chana and Penina. So Chana and Penina, the two sisters violated by Yaakov, go on to marry Yaakov's two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Okay? Reuven and Shimon then die. Now, obviously, if Reuven and Shimon die without children, so what happens? Their wives fall to their paternal brothers. In this case, the paternal brothers of Reuven and Shimon are who? Are Levi and Yehuda. So obviously, in this case, neither Levi nor Yehuda can go ahead and do Yibum with these two women. Why? Because again, for example, Levi can't go ahead and do Yibum with Chana because Chana is his mother. He also can't do Yibum with Penina. Why? Because Penina is the sister of his mother. Similarly, Yehuda can't do Yibum with Penina because it's his mother. And Yehuda also can't do Yibum with Chana because Chana is the sister of his mother. So therefore, again, the Gemara says in this case, you find a case of where the two Yavama wives are sisters. However, but you don't find the case of where what? The woman who is permitted to this brother will be prohibited to that brother. And the woman who is prohibited to that brother is permitted to that brother. Why? Because both women are asura to both brothers. Remember again, because they're both like, one of the women is asura to both the brothers because one of the women is a mother to each. And by definition, the other one is a sister of the mother, which by definition makes them prohibited as well. And I'll say, let's say again, you can use, it's the same image. Let's say in this image, Chana and Penina are not sisters. They're not sisters. They're not related to each other. Then what? Then ahasur lezem muteres lezem mishkachasam. Then I will say, in this kind of case, interestingly enough, when Reuven and Shimon die, although, for example, again, Yehuda could not do Yibam with Penina because she's his mother, but Levi would be permitted to do Penina, to go ahead and do Yibam with Penina, because ultimately, again, she's not related to Levi. So you could find the case of Asur Lezeh, Muteres Lezeh. However, Achosa Shehi Yevimta Lo Mashkachas Lo. But you're not finding a case of where what? Or where the two Yavama wives themselves are related. Rav Ashi says, Li'olam les leiv l'Rebbe hani klali. In reality, Rebbe rejects the principles or the klalim of Rebbe Chiya, as espoused in Amud Beis. Or beplugta kamairi. And in reality, what? In reality, the Mishnah itself has a machlokes. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rav Ashi, the Amar, the Olam, Les leiv l'Rebbe hani klali l'plugta kamairi, kilomar lotima daha lotani imo anusas aviv, mishum delo meshkachas bahani klali del Rebbe les leiv hani klali. So we'll say, remember, just to keep us focused, what's this whole discussion about? This whole discussion is about the fact that Levi brought up the point. I had no idea, right? No idea what the discussion is about, right? But this is, I'm going to tell you what it's about, is this whole thing is that Levi raised the kasha. It's actually quite simple. Levi raised the kasha, and his kasha was, why isn't there a 16th case in the Mishnah? And what was the 16th case according to Rebbe? Anusas Aviv. It was the case where ultimately, again, of a woman, essentially a woman who was violated by the father, and then went on to, and then had a son, they had a child as a result of that, and then she went on to marry one of the other sons of the man who violated her. Meaning, obviously, not the son that she bore, but another one of the sons of the man whom the father, another one of the sons of the man whom she was violated by. Then what happens? So let's just give names to this. We'll call Yaakov is the father. Yaakov violates Leah. They have a son, Reuven. But Yaakov has another son, Shimon, who's totally unrelated then to Leah. Leah goes and marries Shimon. Shimon dies without children. So what happens? Leah falls to Yibam, to who? To her own son, to Reuven. So Levi says, Levi's whole kasha was, why don't you list that case? That's a great case. I mean, great case, you understand? I mean, like in a technical sense. Right? Meaning, that's a great case because it's another example of a situation of a Yibum scenario that cannot occur. And therefore, by definition, if there were other wives as well, Salea would seemingly exempt the co-wives as well. So why is that case not listed in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Obepluk to Kamairi. Because Rebbe would say that Lemaisa, the cases in the Mishnah have to be cases that everyone agrees would work. The case of Anusas Aviv, the case of a son marrying a woman who was violated by his father, is in fact what? Not a universally agreed upon case. Meaning, not everyone agrees that a son is permitted to marry a woman who was violated by his own father. So that if that's the case, again, why does Rebbe... So we'll say, again, so actually very simple now. All Rebbe's saying is the reason why the case of Anusas Aviv is not included in the Mishnah is simply because, as we're going to see in just a little bit, not everybody agrees that that case is permissible. Meaning, not everybody agrees that a son is permitted to marry a woman who was violated by his father. Therefore, the Mishnah could only be universally agreed upon cases. Therefore, it's not included in the 15.
One of the other sons, correct.
So, if that's the case, why does Rebbe have such a negative reaction to Levi's question? Right? Levi asked, why don't we include the case of Anusas Aviv? So what did Rebbe respond? Rebbe said, it would appear to me that this guy doesn't have a brain in his head. Why would Rebbe have such a strong response? This is what Rebbe was saying to Levi. My time up, lo dayakta mas nisin. Why were you not a little bit more careful in investigating the Mishnah? The Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah affects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. And what is Rabbi Yehuda? The Aser Ba'anusas Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is Aser Rabosai for what? It is Aser for a son to marry a woman who was violated by his own father. So Rebbe's saying to Levi, I don't understand why you didn't do your homework. The Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can't, a son who can't marry a woman violated by his father. So obviously, we can't include that case in the Mishnah. Diktani, because also we learn, Sheish Arayos Chamuros Me'ilu. Also, we're going to see, this is a Mishnah in just a couple of blocks. There are six Arayos, six prohibited relationships that are even more chamer than the 15 mentioned in Mishnah. Mipnei Shein Nesuos La'achirim. Right. So remember, these women are not permitted to marry any paternal brothers. Meaning, once they're not permitted to marry the Yavam, it would also mean that because of their Erva status, they're not permitted to marry any other paternal brother as well. Again, we'll discuss these cases. However, Tsaros Sehen Mutaros, but their co-wives would be permitted in Yibum. Emo, so who are some of these cases? Emo, one's mother. The Ashes Aviv, one's father's wife. The Achos Aviv, sister of one's father. So we'll say, what's this case? My Emo, what's the case of one's mother? Ilema Nisuos Aviv, if you want to say this woman married to my father, that can't be why, because we explicitly say, Hainu Ashes Aviv. Elalav, so rather, what does it mean when it says, the wife of my father? Elalav Anusas Aviv. Rather, what does it refer to? It ultimately refers to a woman who was violated by one's father. Ve'katani mipnei she'nesuos la'achirim. And what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says these women are permitted to marry other people. La'achirim in, other people they're permitted to marry. La'achin lo. But they're not permitted to marry the brothers. I will say, now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means the following. That Lemaisa, the Mishnah is saying over here, that the case of Anusas Aviv, again, remember, the same case as before, Yaakov violates Leah. The Mishnah is telling us that what? That even if Yaakov has other sons, we'll call them again Reuven and Shimon. We'll call them Reuven and Shimon from another marriage. Happens that Yaakov has a son when he violates Leah, has a son Levi. The Mishnah is not telling us that what? Reuven and Shimon are not permitted to marry Leah. They're not. Now again, remember, they have no relation to this woman, but they are not permitted to marry a woman who was violated by their father. That's the case of Anusas Aviv. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see from here that Lemaisa, again, Anusas Aviv, is Aser. And Moshe said to bring this all together. This is the reflective view of, I'm sorry, Man Shamislei, let's just finish the line, Man Shamislei, this lay high Svara. So who is the opinion who holds that sons cannot marry a woman violated by their father? Rabbi Huda, the Aser Ba'anusas Aviv. It's Rabbi Huda who says that sons are not permitted to marry a woman violated by their father. Mishum Hachi Lo Tanile. And because of this, no questions now, because of this, they are not. I'm sorry, Sach, we just have to, right, otherwise it disrupts the flow. Wait, I don't think this is on. So again, I will say, because, so now here's what we have. Here's what we have. I don't mean to be such a daft dictator, but otherwise it's impossible. So we'll say, so understand. So now what's happening over here? Now we actually finally have a handle on this. So now remember, Levi wanted to include a 16th case in the Mishnah. Remember, all the cases in the Mishnah, we'll say, are cases essentially where Yibum can't happen. And because Yibum can't happen, Lemaisa, the wife who can't do Yibum, will also exempt all of her co-wives. So the suggestion we wanted, so Levi suggested to Rabbi, Rabbi, I have a 16th case. What's the 16th case? Anusas Aviv. A woman violated by the father, who then bears the father a son. That woman then goes ahead and marries another son of the man who violated her, unrelated to her. That son dies without children. She now falls before her biological son, the paternal brother of the deceased man, for Yibum. There's a case where Yibum can't occur. It's case number 16 in the Mishnah, to which Rabbi essentially responds to Levi, no. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. And what does Rabbi Huda hold? That a son may not marry a woman who was violated by her father. Therefore, by definition, we can't go ahead and include this in the Mishnah. And Rebbe gives a little bit of mussar to Levi, because Levi, we'll say, you know, Levi says, you know, we'll say there are two different types of Rebbeim. So some Rebbeim, every question is an incredible question, right? Every question is wonderful, and there are some Rebbeim who will tell you when it's a good question, will absolutely tell you when that question was just half baked. It just was not thought out. Rebbe apparently was of the latter camp. He says, Levi, what kind of question is that? You didn't do your homework. Rebbe, who does one who holds that you can't marry a woman violated by your father? By definition, therefore, it can't be included in the Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, Rabbi Huda, Nami Mishkacha, so no, I'll tell you. But even according to Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Osai, it could still work. How could it still work? D.E. Avar Venosiv. Rabbi Osai, let's say, as much as according to Rabbi Huda, a son is not permitted to marry a woman who was violated by her father, his father. But let's say what?
He did it.
Let's say he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Rabbi say, again, lemaisa, it is usher to marry a woman who was violated to you by your father. But if you did it, as we're going to get into this sugya, but it's actually interesting. If a woman is prohibited to you by a lav, and you go ahead and you marry her, the kiddushin still works. If a woman is prohibited to you by either death by Beis Din or Kares, the kiddushin does not work. So for example, if a Kohen were to marry a divorcee, as much as it's usher, the marriage works. If a man were to try to betroth his sister, at the end of the day, the marriage would not work. So the Gemara suggests, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can't marry a woman who is violated by your sister, a man who is violated by your father, let's say he did it. Let's say the son married the woman. So lemaisa, again, the marriage should work. So it could still be a potential case that would fit into our Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, di'i lo katani. We're not talking about cases like that. We're not dealing with illegal marriages, right? We're only dealing with the Mishnah, because we'll say, obviously, if you do that, then you could have 75 cases in the Mishnah. We're only talking about situations where there was a legal marriage that occurred that has now resulted in a Yibum situation. Amr Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, below di'i nami mishkachas. The truth is, Rav Ashi says, Rav Kahana, I could even find you another case where it could work. Yaakov Anas Kaloso. We'll say, okay, so listen to this one. Yaakov violates his daughter-in-law. He violated his daughter-in-law. Okay, now follow this for just a moment. I didn't send you a chart on this one. Vaholid mimena ben. So Yaakov fathers a child with his daughter-in-law. Okay, and now what happens? So now Yaakov has a child with his daughter-in-law. So remember, technically speaking, Yaakov, that child that he fathered with his daughter-in-law is technically speaking a paternal brother to Yaakov's other's son. To Yaakov's son, right? Okay, following this is actually not a complicated case, right? So again, the son born of the violation of his daughter-in-law is actually a paternal brother. Is actually a paternal brother to his firstborn son. Umeis Reuven. Now what happens? Reuven died. Umeis Reuven below banim. Venaf lala kamebra. So we'll say what happens now. So who does the daughter-in-law fall in Yibum to? The daughter-in-law falls in Yibum to technically her son, her own son, who happens to be the brother of her now deceased husband. Again, I will say one more time. Reuven violated his daughter-in-law. Reuven has a son. We'll call him Yaakov, excuse me. Yaakov violated his daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law was married to Reuven. Yaakov then has a son with the daughter-in-law. We'll call him Shimon. Reuven now dies without children, which means now Leah, the daughter-in-law, becomes a Yavama. Who does she fall in Yibum to? Well, she falls to her husband's, deceased husband's, paternal brother, who also happens to be who? Who also happens to be her son. So the Gemara says, Umihu, as family gatherings must be interesting, Umihu, di'ihi asira, tsarasa nami asira. And I will say, in that case again, since the daughter-in-law is going to be asir in Yibum, therefore what? Any co-wives that, let's say, she may have had when she was married to Reuven will also be asir. Well, as I say again, here you could see a Yibum case of what? Of a situation of where a woman was violated by the father, but yet you had a legal marriage. Now, the reason why this case is different is because, remember, Reuven was married to his wife prior to her being violated by his father. So the mice again, so why don't you include this case in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, no. Ba'achvasa dehetera kamairi. Ba'achvasa deyisur lo kamairi. The Mishnah is only talking about bonds, brotherhood bonds that were created in legal circumstances. We're not talking about brotherhood bonds that were created in illegal circumstances. Va'afa pike, nevertheless. So we'll say, so therefore, now we understand why Rebbe does not agree, why Rebbe did not place a 16th case in the Mishnah, because he did not feel that there was a legal way to go ahead and come up with this case, and the Mishnah only wanted to deal with marriages that occurred on a legal construct and legal framework. But nevertheless, Na'afa Pekin, even though Rebbe rejected the 16th case, but Kalevi B'mas Nisan, Levi still included it in his own Mishnah. I'm about to say, what does it mean Levi had his own Mishnah? I'm about to say, so Rabbanim often gathered their own teachings together. So when Levi was teaching this topic, he did include this 16th case. The Tani Levi, Pamim, Imo, Pamim Potera Saras, Pamim Eno Potera Saras, Levi taught the following idea. Sometimes one's mother could exempt her co-wives from Yibum, and sometimes she does not exempt her co-wives from Yibum. How so? Ketzad, Haisa ima nesuas aviv, v'niseis la'achiv me'aviv umeis, zohi imo shen poteras rasol. So listen to this. Let's say you had a case of a woman who was married to a man. We're going to call the patriarch Yaakov. So a woman is married to Yaakov. And then what? And then let's say, again, Yaakov dies. But Yaakov has children. That woman then goes ahead and marries Reuven, Yaakov's oldest son. Not her son, right? Not her child. He had it with another woman. So I'm going to say, is that a legal marriage? That is not a legal marriage. Why? Because that's Eshes Aviv. That's Eshes Aviv. That's Erevas Aviv. And Rabbi says such a relationship is punishable by Karis. And Rabbi says, as I've mentioned before, inside, any marriage that is punishable by Karis, the marriage does not take effect. So let's play this out. So again, remember, just keep this family tree. This is one interesting family tree. So we've got the patriarch Yaakov is married to Leah. Yaakov dies or divorces, it doesn't really matter. Leah then marries Yaakov's son Reuven, not her child, Yaakov's son Reuven. Reuven, let's say, is married to now, and Reuven has another wife as well. We'll call her Rachel. So Yaakov is now married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel is a regular wife. Leah is his father's former wife. An illegal marriage. Illegal marriage punishable by Karis. Reuven now dies without children. Reuven has a couple of brothers. We'll call him Shimon. So now the shaila is, what's Shimon's obligation with Yibum? See, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, Zohu imo shein poteras sarasa. So I'm going to say, because that was an illegal marriage between Reuven and his father's wife, punishable by Karis, the Kiddushin is not Tovsin. The Kiddushin never takes hold. If the Kiddushin never takes hold, the Rebbe said, then what happens? Then there's no marriage. If there's no marriage, then what? Then when Reuven dies, obviously there's no Yibum by his father's wife, by Leah, but there is Yibum with who? There is Yibum with Rachel. So that's what it means. Zoe imo shein poteras sarasa. That's a case of a mother who does not exempt her co-wife from Yibum. However, on the base, Haisa imo anusas aviv, v'niseis la'achiv. But if one's mother was violated by her father, so we'll say in this case over here, Yaakov violated Leah. They had a son. We'll call him Reuven. But Yaakov also has another son by the name of Shimon. Right, and Shimon's totally unrelated to Leah. Shimon then goes ahead and marries a woman violated by his father. And what happened? V'niseis la'achiv, me'aviv umeis. And then what happens? Shimon also happens to be married to another woman as well. Shimon dies without children. Zohi imo shepoteres saras. So I will say this would be a case of what? So because Reuven can't do Yibum with Leah. Why not? Because she is his mother, she also exempts any of the other co-wives as well. They're both saying, now again, this is according to Levi, because Levi doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because Levi holds that what? That in fact, Kedushin is Tovsin. Why? Because a son is permitted to marry Anusas Aviv. If he's permitted to marry a woman who is violated by his father. So all the Gemara is pointing out over here is that Lemaisa, again, even though Rebbe said to Levi it can't be included in the Mishnah, Levi himself would teach this case as a case of where one wife exempts the other wives from Yibum. And even though in our Mishnah the rabbis taught Chamesh Esrei that there are only 15 women who go ahead and exempt, their co-wives from Yibum, we should add on a 16th woman like this particular case of Anusa Savas. So Rebbe will say, what comes out is a fundamental dispute between Rebbe and Levi as to whether or not we should include the 16th case. Rebbe says we do not include the case of Anusas Aviv. Why? Because we hold like Rebbe Yehuda, who says that a son is not permitted to go ahead and marry a woman violated by his father. On the other hand, Levi holds that he can, and therefore, according to Levi, there would actually be a 16th case. Fine. So the Gemara is right. Only Reish Lakish Rebbe Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says Rebbe Yochanan. The Levi de Amar de Inami Katani. So according to Levi, who says that we could even include in the Mishnah certain cases where what? Certain cases where Lemaisa, there was an illegal marriage, right? A marriage that was not supposed to occur occurred. So listening hacholes liyavimto the chazer v'kidsha umis below bottom. Rabbi, why don't you include the following case? A yavam, a brother who went ahead and did chalitza. And I will say, interestingly enough,
Rabbi responded to Rabbi Yehuda.
To Levi, right, that we don't include the E cases. We don't include illegal cases. But according to Levi, who was obviously looking at illegal cases, why don't you include the following case? But it's an interesting case. This is a case of a Yavam who did, there's no like illicit marriage over here. So this is just the case of a Yavam who did Chalitza. Regular case. Surviving brother decided that he did not want to marry his deceased brother's wife. So he did Chalitza. Then what happens? I will say, now, once you do chalitza, what's that halacha? I mean, we didn't see this inside yet, but we can infer you're done. You're done with this woman. She's like an erva to you again. You can't. But let's say what? He went ahead and he married her. He had a change of heart. He did chalitza, and he decided that what? You know what? The truth is, you're truly my bashert. He went ahead and, right, they saw each other across the field. They saw the music playing. The birds were chirping, right? And so what happened? So he did kiddushin. Umes below banim. Now what happens? So now that's an illegal marriage. But interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi, the chazer v'kidsha, first white line in Rashi, the kiddushin tovsin loba. Now that kiddushin does work. Why? De'ena alav ella belav. Because Rabbi said there is only a lav that governs that marriage. The chsiv asher lo yivna as beis achiv. Kevan shlo bana shul lo yivna. Now Rabbi said, because remember again, the Torah says, Torah speaks about, again, the husband, the brother who doesn't do Yibum, and it calls him the brother who does not rebuild the house of his brother. So that's Asher Lo Yivna Beis Aviv is like Allah. So meaning in the Gemara infers from that, once he has made the decision not to rebuild his brother's home, then what? He may not rebuild his brother's home. So it's a law, it's a prohibition. They're both saying, if you marry a woman who is prohibited to you through a law, that marriage, in fact, does work. So now watch this case. So brother does chalitza, then remarries his sister-in-law, and then he dies without children. So the shaila is, now there are other brothers. What's the halacha vis-a-vis Yibum? So the Gemara says, Demigo di'ihi asura, because now since this wife, meaning this now second time widow is going to be asur, Sarah Sanamisa, and I will say, obviously, it's not going to be even in this situation. Why is it not going to be even in this situation? Because it was an illegal marriage. At the end of the day, so the brother who remarried the woman with whom he did chalitza, that was an illegal marriage. Anytime that there is an illegal marriage, there is no what? There is no Yibum. So the fact that there's not going to be Yibum, not only is she exempt from Yibum, but what else? What else? If the brother was married to other women as well, she would also exempt them from Yibum. Correct. Anytime there is an illegal marriage, let's make it simpler. It's only in the case of a lav. Because if a man tries to marry a woman who is usher to him through misa or through kares, then there's what? There's no marriage. There's no marriage. So of course, if there's no marriage, there's no yibam. The chiddush is, let's say the marriage did work. Like in this case, again, when the brother does chalitza with his sister-in-law, then has a change of heart and marries her, that marriage actually works. They're technically, they're schuping yidushin. They are married. But it's illegal. It's a lav. You can't do it. Therefore, when he dies, there is no yibam. And because there's no yibam with the illegal wife, there's also what? No yibam with the other co-wives as well. So Amarle, according, if you hold that we could even list illegal cases, so why didn't the Mishnah list that case? Amrei lefi she'ein bitzaras tzara. Because Rabbi say lemaisa again, that case doesn't apply in the case of tzaras tzara. Look at Rashi just a moment. Lefi she'ein bitzaras tzara. Deleka lemisne ba halacha tzaras halcha tzarasa v'nisleis le'echad min ha'achin dehalekulu asira. Rabbi say, now interestingly enough, so the other case won't work. Why? Because the case over here is Holchot Sarasa Vinises La'acher. I will say, remember, in this case, you can't have a tsara that went and married someone else, because that would mean she's marrying one of the other brothers, and that's usur by definition. So because it doesn't, remember, all the cases in the Mishnah provided the opportunity for the case of tsaras tsara. This situation will not allow for it, and therefore it's not listed. Bale male chayve lavini. But why don't you say that they are chayvei lavin? Rashi says, "V'leim alei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish chayvei lavinin huachin ala chalutz zu shechazav v'nafal lefneim v'lo kaim alei b'kares da'iu poligali derpshim and lakish." Come on, so we'll say. So why don't you say? I don't understand. In this case over here, where the man remarried the woman with whom he did Yibum, that's only a Chayvi Lav, and it's only a Lav. And I'm sorry? He did Chalitza, I'm sorry. He did Chalitza with her, then remarried her. That's only a Lav. And Chayvi Lav in our Chayiv, in Yibum and Chalitza, to which the Gemara says, Lidvarv Kamarle. Lididi, so he's saying, according to me, Chayvi Lav, and the Chayvi Lav, and Chalitza Yibum, and who, according to me, I actually think this case should work. And even though, in the case of Osayv, where the brother went ahead and did chalitza with his sister-in-law and then remarried her, it is illegal, but the marriage works. And I actually hold that even in that case, if the brother were to then die, there would be a chiyav yibum upon the other brothers. However, ela ledidach, but according to you, chayve krisos ninu, lefi she'enon, chayve krisos ninu, lefi she'enon b'tzaras tzara, but according to you, again, lemaisa, the only time where you would be able to exclude a case would be Chayvei Krisos. Why? Because Lamais, in that case, then there's no Tsaras Tsar, as we said before. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Itman. Now, we'll say, now the Gemara quoted that case. The Gemara wants to spend a little bit of time discussing that case because it's quite interesting. Itmar. Hacholis liyavimto. The Chazer v'kitch. I will say, let's say again, a man did Chalitza with his Yivama. So again, remember, we'll call Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died childless. Left the wife, Leah. Shimon goes ahead and does chalitza with Leah. Shimon's a survivor, does chalitza. Then Shimon has a change of heart and what? And decides that he wants to marry her. So what's the halacha? Amreish Lakish, who ain chayiv ala chalutza kares? V'ha'ach in chayav and ala chalutza kares. Now let's listen to this. So Reish Lakish says, and we're going to explain this in just a moment. Reish Lakish says that when the surviving brother, when Reuven remarries the woman who he did chalitza with, he is not chayiv kares for her. But if the other brothers were to marry her, they would be chayiv kares for her. Okay, al hatzara. However, again, on any of the co-wives of this sister-in-law, bein hu bein ha'achin chayavin al hatzara kares. But for the other co-wives, Rabosai, once Reuven did chalitza with Leah. So again, what the Gemara is saying like this, what Reish Lakish is saying is, if Reuven has chalitza with Leah, if Reuven remarries her, it's only a lav. But if the other brothers were to marry her, then what would be chiyav kares? But after he does chalitza with Leah, if Reuven were to try to marry any of the co-wives, if Reuven, or for that matter, any of the other brothers were to marry any of the co-wives, there'd be a chiyav kares. Okay, we'll explain in just a moment. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, bein hu, u bein ha'achin, einon chayavin elo ala chalutza kares, velo ala tzara kares. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, once you do chalitza, whether it's Reuven or any of the other brothers were to remarry the sister-in-law, or for that matter were to marry any of the other co-wives, there's no chiyav kares. At most there's what? At most there's an isra lav. So what's the pshat? My time to Reish Lakish. What's Reish Lakish? I'm supposed to remember again. So what's Reish Lakish's shita? Once Reuven does chalitza with Leah, and then what? And he wants to remarry her. So if he remarries her, then what? Then it's an isra lav. If the other brothers marry her, then what? Then what? Kares. And if anyone tries to marry any of the co-wives, then what? Kares for all of them. So what's the pshat? My time to Reish Lakish. Amakra, because the pasuk says, Asher lo yivneh. The pasuk Rabosa is phrased in the future tense. That once he goes ahead and does chalitza, so they say, Kachaya salish, Asher lo yivneh es beis achim. He will not build future. Which also we understand to mean what? It's a lav. Once you do chalitza, you are not permitted to marry this woman anymore. Kevan shalobana, once you did not build, i.e. you did chalitza, shuv lo yivna, you may not build anymore. To which the Gemara says, ihu dahakai belo yivna. Now Rabbi say, who is the only person whom this lav applies to? It only applies to the brother who actually did chalitza. Aval echov, aval ochiv, but his brothers, kede kaimi kaimi. They are in their original status. Now, we'll say, what does it mean, their original status? For them, who is this woman? From who is this woman? This woman is their brother's wife. This woman is their brother's wife. They can't do yibum because now chalitza has been done. So this is their brother's wife. That's what we're going to see. Right? So for them, this is their brother's wife, according to Reish Lakish. What's the status of your brother's wife? She's a surah to you, Bekaris. Mm-hmm. So again, so Reish Lakish Shishi goes like this. For the brother who did chalitza, so now that he did chalitza, he is a lav. Asher lo yivna. So if he marries her, he violated a lav. But again, the marriage works. For the other brothers who did not do chalitza, for them, this woman is like their deceased brother's sister, who is a surah to them, Bekaris. And therefore, if they have a relationship, it's Karis. One second. We're going to take it. You're going to see if Reish Lakish, we get Reish Lakish. I'm sorry. But I will say, who does the lav apply to? The lav only applies to who? Right. To the woman with whom he did chalitza, to his sister-in-law, to one of the sisters-in-law. Hatsura kedekaimi kaimi. But Rabbi says he only did chalitza with one woman, which means that for all the other women, then what? They are still in their original status, which means what? They are still the brother's wife, which is Asr Bekaris. So Rabbi says this is the sheet of Reish Lakish. So again, Reish Lakish says, when Reuven does chalitza, so now his sister-in-law is prohibited to him by a lav. But for all the other brothers, she retains her original status of what? As an erva, which means that if they have relations with her, then ultimately, again, it's an Isser Kares. And for the co-wives, they are all in the same boat because the co-wives still retain their original status and therefore they're Asura Bekares. Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yochanan, mi'ika midi di me'ikara, says it doesn't make any sense, right? When let's say when Reuven dies, so we'll say, remember, any brother has the ability to do yibum or chalitza, and furthermore, what Rabbi say, any brother has the ability to do yibum or chalitza with any of the wives. Therefore, ella ihi shlichusa da'achim. Excuse me, ella ihu. Rabbi said, when one of the brothers does chalitza, he is not just acting on his own behalf. Who is he acting on behalf of?
All
of the brothers. And ihi shlichusa d'tzara ka'avda. And when one of the wives accepts either yibum or chalitza, then what? She's acting on behalf of all of the wives. And therefore, Rabbi said, Rabbi Yochanan says the following. Rabbi Yochanan says, everybody is in the same boat. Rabbi Yochanan says, therefore, once chalitza is done, the woman is only prohibited by a lav to all of the brothers. And Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not just someone with whom, it's not just the brother who did chalitza, that is true for all the brothers. And not only that, it's not just true for the woman with whom chalitza was performed, but to all of the wives. All of them in the same boat. Eis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan raised a kash to Reish Lakish. Hacholitz li yevinto. If someone does chalitza with his sister-in-law, v'chazer v'kidsha, and then he went ahead and he remarried her, obviously it's illegal, it's allowed. Umes, but then he died, right? Then, remember, this is brother number two now died, umes. Tzricha chalitza min ha'achin. She requires chalitza from the other brothers. Bishlam alididi. So Rabbi Yochanan says, this makes sense according to me. Da'amina chayve lavin ninhu. Because I hold that this is only a chayve lavin, right? Remember, a sister-in-law, after you did chalitza, if you remarry her, you only violated a lav. Not only violated a lav, but at the end, you violated a lav. But lamais, again, marriage, kiddushin works with a lav. Therefore, hainu d'tzricha chalitza min ha'achin. Therefore, if the brother remarries her after chalitza, and the brother dies without children, I understand why the other brothers will have to perform chalitza with her. However, ela ledidach, but according to Reish Lakish, amai tzrichas chalitza, why should she require chalitza? Because also remember, at the end of the day, what? At the end of the day, lemaisa, again, according to you, it's an Isser Kares. It's an Isser Kares to the other brothers. So why should there even be a need for chalitza? Because remember, again, any time that the Yivam, remember, according to Reish Lakish, even though the brother who remarried her is only chayiv in a lav, therefore the marriage works, she's prohibited by kares to all the other brothers. Whenever a yavama is prohibited by kares to other brothers, then what? There's no yibam, there's no chalitza. So why should need chalitza? Well, tamech, and according to Reish Lakish, according to your reasoning, Ema seifa. So Reish Lakish shoots back at Rabbi Yochanan. What do you say to the end of that brisa? Amad echa min ha'achin v'kidsha, that if one of the brothers went ahead and was mekadesher, ein la alav klum. Then what? She has no claims on him. Rabbi Rashi points out, ein la alav klum means de'in kiddushin tov simba. If let's say one of the brothers did marry her, there's no kiddushin. Ve'ein atzricha him and a get. And if they were to tzal marriage, they don't need to require a get. De'ein kiddushin tov simba chavi krisos. We'll say, so Reish Lakish is at Rabbi Yochanan. But look at the end of the brayso. What does the end of the brayso say? Let's say one of the brothers did in fact go ahead and marry this woman, who was now the deceased. Remember, she was the former chalutza who remarried the now deceased brother. Then what? Then essentially the brayso says, there's no marriage. Ve'i chavi lavin inho. And if Rabbi Yochanan, you're right, that remarrying your chalutza is only a lav. Am I ain la alav klum? Then why should that marriage not be good? Rav Sheshes said, Seifa Asun Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Ein Kiddushin Tovsim Mechavi Lav. Oh, because the Seifa, Rabbosai, goes according to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that marriages that are prohibited by a Lav do not have the ability to take effect. So the Gemara says again, so we're listening to Lediv Rabbi Akiva in La Lav Klum. So why doesn't the Braisa say that? Why doesn't the Braisa say, but according to Rabbi Akiva, the marriage does not work? To which we get to the top of Yud Aleph, Kasha. That is Yud Kasha. So mostly we'll stop here for today. But what we are left with, is, just again, if you don't remember, it's okay if you don't remember everything, but just remember this, because this is really the Iker Nekuda. We are left with a fundamental dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which we have not yet resolved. A fundamental dispute about what is the status of a man does chalitza with a woman and then remarries her. What do they agree about? What do they agree on? Everyone agrees, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree, that if you do chalitza and then you remarry a woman, you are in violation of a lav. That everyone agrees, which means that everyone, meaning when I say everyone, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will both agree that such a marriage works. We've just seen the position of Rabbi Akiva, that Kiddushin cannot take hold in a case of lav, so he'll say the marriage does not work. But both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the marriage will work. The machlokes is regarding everything else. According to Reish Lakish, essentially, Yibum and Chalitza only alters the relationship between the brother, the surviving brother, and the sister-in-law who engage in that relationship. But for everyone else, the previous relationship still remains intact. Therefore, again, for all of the other brothers who did not do Chalitza, this sister-in-law is still an erva, which means that if they had relations with her, it's punishable by Kares. And not only that, again, and even the brother who did Chalitza, that's only for the woman he did Chalitza with. But he is still prohibited by Kares to all the other co-wives. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan seems to have the more streamlined shade. He says, no, essentially all of this happens in concert. One always represents the group. So when one brother does chalitza, he's doing chalitza on behalf of all of the brothers. When one woman does chalitza, she's doing it on behalf of all the wives. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan's position is that if a brother does chalitza with his sister-in-law, then at the end of the day, all of the parties involved are all what? Are all chayvei lavin, which means whether it's that the brother who did the chalitza remarries the woman who did chalitza with, or one of the other brothers marries one of the other tsaros, in all of those cases, it'll only be prohibited by a lav. So that is the fundamental issue between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we'll continue with the Amirat Hashem tomorrow.